Welcome to the Kawartha Small Business Podcast, where we believe the Kawarthas can be the most thriving region in Canada for small businesses. I'm Brian Rupp from Profit Coach.
And I'm Matt Garrity from Matty G Digital.
And we are recording from the Thrive Podcast Studio at Thrive Coworking Community, downtown Lindsay, Ontario at 18 Kent Street West. All right, Matt, today we are talking about a text you sent me over the weekend. I was talking about just tangible change I've personally experienced, and your reply was something about, you know, most people would not intentionally change at all. I forget the rest of the context, but it's had me thinking about that and just the importance of choosing intentional change if you're going to build and grow a business and part of life. And you're right, most people don't want change. Even our own brains and bodies don't want change either. So you have to intentionally put some effort into actually changing if you want to change.
This is a great story because also I don't remember the context of it either, but I do remember saying that, and I think it is cool how you have very intentionally tried to change things. And like you just said, I may be just repeating what you're saying, but the idea that if people don't like change, but it's happening all the time, all around us. I fight like heck to avoid change. I like things how they are. I love routine, like, so bad. I love it so hard. And when I fall out of a routine and a schedule, I'm a mess. Physically in pain, mentally foggy. I hate it. But at the same time, like, if I think about it, like, my business is very usually routine. But anyways, there is change everywhere, and people hate it. But for, like, who is actively looking for change, I think, beyond, like, moving or career change or I want to make myself a bit better. And you've very actively changed multiple things about you or actively looked for ways to make yourself uncomfortable, frankly, which is really cool.
Yeah, it really sucks, too. It's hard to go through a lot of change. And I think the context was just talking about the weekend. So I have trouble recognizing my own change sometimes, a lot often. And I was just sitting and thinking, and I was like, oh, like, I did the CrossFit Open, and I did 3 chin-ups as part of my workout. And with the Open, most people, you know, they have a plan for what they want to do, and then everyone's always a bit disappointed in how they perform, and they wish they did better. And I was like, I got through a really hard part of the workout, and I was physically able to do chin-ups, which is a massive change. Like, I think maybe 3 months ago, I couldn't even do a chin-up. 6 months ago, I had trouble even hanging from the bar in, like, the chin-up grip.
Yeah.
And I remember intentionally wanting to just work on that.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that it translated to physically being able to do a chin-up in my 40s, when most people think
life's over,
can't possibly do anything, I'm like, oh, look at me actually doing, like, a chin-up. I also was in a play, which most people would not audition for a play or go in a play, let alone one where they have intimacy scenes where they are having intercourse as part of the scene.
Is this a live intercourse play on stage?
It is definitely not. It's funny because people are like, you're so brave, I would never do that. And I think I just got lucky with the actress I work with, because it, like, there's nothing uncomfortable about it. It's kind of funny to me, and I have trouble almost not laughing, but it just, it worked in terms of doing that. But that, I was like, oh, that's tangible change.
Mm-hmm.
Let alone, like, I maybe alluded to it on the podcast a bit, but I'm separated. So I, like, wake up in my basement apartment. My life is completely different. Like, there's just so many different things happening. And I was like, oh, like, it was a good weekend to remind myself just how much change I've experienced.
Maybe you're talking about you being so tired.
I think I was tired as well, letting myself be tired. Mm-hmm. I am somebody who, in my own internal work, you know, there's a whole other podcast series of like mental health and health. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I learned that I just suppressed emotion my whole life. And I used to think what that meant was like, I didn't know what that meant, or even feelings of like, oh, I'm tired, or oh, I'm hungry. Mm-hmm. So to be like, oh, I'm actually exhausted, and recognizing that and being okay with it. Whereas before, I'd always be like, oh, I'm not tired. I can, you know, keep grinding or keep doing something.
We were taught that if we are hungry, we're fat. Yeah. And if we are tired, we're lazy.
Yeah.
Our whole lives.
I know. That is insane to me when I think about that now. So, you know, the other, I think, element of this is I got a Whoop strap, which is like a fitness tracker type thing. And, you know, it's not 100% accurate, but the data it gives me, it has a stress monitor. It monitors your activity, your sleep, how many calories you burn in a day. And, you know, I was told, you know, again, on the weekends, it's like, if you eat, you're fat. So we would, like, try not to eat on weekends.
Yeah.
And then I'd be, like, so tired in the afternoon, you're, like, sleeping on the couch. So it's like, you're lazy. Mm-hmm. And as an adult, even though I'm working on a lot of these things, like, weekends are hard for me. Mm-hmm. Because all of my programming is, like, don't eat.
Yeah.
And also don't be lazy. Mm-hmm. But like I learned that the weekends I work out, like I burn like almost 3,000 calories, and I'm programmed to try to not eat or eat like 1,200. I'm like, no wonder I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
And even to just recognize that and like learn to make some changes in habits so that I can live better is just dramatic change.
And listening to my oldest son talk about nutrition stuff now, because he was like learning it in school, and he was talking about he's in grade 3. I don't know what exactly he said about, but like, be careful with eating fruit because there's sugar in it, implying that like sugar's terrible for you. And I was like, this is just, we have to like address this right away.
Yeah.
We've always said like every food serves a purpose. And they're like, kids are like, even candy? I'm like, yeah, it gives you energy and it makes you happy. And yeah, like, that's the purpose that
my
it is.
My favorite nutrition coach has a thing about like Coca-Cola, and people are like, oh, it's the worst thing ever. She's like, it's calories, and there's times where you need quick, easy calories.
Yeah.
And she's like an ultra marathon runner. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, I drink Coke when I do that because I like it and it gives me calories.
Yeah.
Is it the path for me to drink 4 every day? Mm-hmm. Probably doesn't fit with what I want, but it serves a purpose.
Yeah. Enough about you. You want to talk about a revelation I had the other day and I haven't told you about?
Yeah.
When working with Rochelle from Yoga Mojo. I don't know what she is. Spiritual coach?
Shout out to Rochelle.
Yeah.
Spiritual coach, Reiki.
Does she listen?
Rochelle, we'll find out. If you are listening, you need to tell us, and we're calling you out on this podcast right now.
I don't feel guilt anymore because of the work I've done with hypnotherapy at State of Mind Hypnosis, but there also is like this feeling, and I don't know what it is, that should be there. And I was feeling that feeling about wanting to go to a couple golf tournaments this summer by myself. Canadian Open, then the President's Cup. And I was like,
yeah, I love that you're excited about those.
Yeah.
By the way,
I've already got like a bunch of tickets and stuff already taken care of. And like, there's a part of me that's like, you should go with someone. You should go with a friend. You should go do all this stuff. And then through meditation with Rochelle, thinking about whatever, basically, I'll jump around a bit here, but like, I need more relaxation in my life. I want more rest. I love it. And I get rest from being alone. And I don't get that enough anymore. And I love golf. And I was like, I need to go to these tournaments by myself and enjoy what I like on my own and just be alone for a couple days. And it felt so relieving to kind of come to terms with that and be like, no, I'm not going to invite so-and-so for this and that. Like, I'm just going to go and be and just love myself.
I love that. I think that's a great change in, like, in really recognizing that as a just a need and a want. Mm-hmm. Like, we are programmed with all of these, you know, I call it the should monster, right? Mm-hmm. You should do this. You should want that. Because sometimes things like, you know, dining alone, you're growing up, be like, oh, that's stupid, and, you know, you shouldn't do that, or that says all these things about you. But if you like it and you get recharged from it, you should do that on your own. I know you like golf. You like those events. I know you have had experiences doing things like that where you get pulled by other people's preferences, and it diminishes from that experience, and you shouldn't do that. You know, we went to Vegas, and it was great because we both did our own things by ourselves, and then we connected for, like, evening dinner to, like, stuff we wanted to do together, and that was a great structure for that. I would not have wanted to, and you didn't want to either, hang out and do the same things together all day, every day. But something like a big golf, I'm like, to me, I'm like, happy for you, because it's like, if that's what you want to do, like, go for it. Like, that's awesome. If that's what's going to make it a good trip for you, not having any agenda items or deal with anyone else's even preferences, or even like if they get sick or something, and you know, you drive together, you got to drive someone back. It takes away from what you really want.
Yeah. Out of it. Should monster is such a good one. We should just do a whole podcast series on the should monster. I love that.
Yeah, and I love the should monster. Hillary, shout out to Hillary. She, I believe I talked about it, and she picked up on it. Talks about the should monster. Mm. She talks about how we already have, like, the book written, like the children's book, The Should Monster. I can't remember if I stole that from someone else or put it together, but it is, like, I think about it. Every time the word should comes in, I think about it, and then there's the question of, like, I should do this, and it's, like, based on what? And according to who?
Yeah.
It's almost like the shame monster is there, too, where it's like, whose shame is this? And Hillary has a great exercise where you give that shame back to someone. And to learn that stuff and then implement it in real time and be like, hey, I realize I need this.
Yeah.
And this is what I want. Like, do it.
I love dealing with the should monster. It's one of my, I'm not a rebellious person, but I think a lot about, why are we doing it this way?
Oh,
I had a situation this morning where, I don't say her name often, but I'll say Meg. I always just say my wife for her. What Meg was telling me about her hairdresser, and a situation where some woman that she was doing her hair, husband brought in his girlfriend. Like, so he's having an affair. And the hairdresser was like, oh, I'm going to tell the wife. And she did. And then my mind immediately went to, like, oh, should she have done that? And then I was like, no, that's ridiculous. We've been told by probably old white men that we should not interfere in affairs. We should not tell somebody else that they're having an affair. I'm like, she should have. She did the right thing. She's not the victim. Tell the person. And I'm just fascinated. Like, I love that should monster stuff. Like, why am I thinking that way? Like, no, she didn't do anything wrong. And, like, why are we we've been told all these things to protect old white people all these
years? Or we protect crappy men,
right? Yes, yeah.
I have a story I tell often about a you know, I'm not gonna talk about it on the podcast.
Say their name.
Maybe we will one day when we we joke our last podcast, we're just going to name names.
Airing of the grievances.
Airing of the grievances. But it's one that I'm careful about the story, but I don't hold back from it because it would just be that suggestion that we keep things quiet about crappy men's behavior like that. And yeah, it's a great example of digging that out and just questioning those things. And I know for me, part of my being on stage, and I'm going to be on another one singing, is the suggestion that, oh, you can't sing or you can't do something. And just realizing, well, maybe I want to. And maybe I can reject that suggestion and become okay enough to do community theater at this. Am I going to be the next Leonardo DiCaprio? Probably not. But I don't need to be. I can just change and try something new.
I think this is your sneaky way to get your friends to go to the theater more.
Oh, sneaky.
I was thinking about this.
I harassed everyone I know to buy tickets to see Bunny. The next one I won't harass as much.
But I was thinking about that this week.
It's going to sell out.
I was like, oh, I gotta go to this next one now because Brian's in this one.
Well, Bunny, I invited your wife.
I heard she's going, and I'm like, sweet, that might be.
I knew it's not maybe not your thing, but it's her thing.
Yeah.
It's a night on Broadway. Anyone who likes, it's going to be so good for anyone who likes Broadway variety songs and stuff. Yeah, Bunny, I'm like, this is a new thing. Like, I'm making everyone come. I think I know everyone in the audience.
That's all.
A couple of the shows coming up.
Yeah. Like, she told me the other day, she's like, oh, shoot, like, I was going to go to this thing on this night that Brian's in and with so-and-so. She's like, that's like the night before you're going away. I don't want to do that. And in my head, I'm like, well, no, like, she needs to go and that shouldn't stop her. And I'm also like, ooh, if she goes, and that means I'm not going to have to go.
Yeah.
I'm like, you should go. It's all good.
Definitely. Yeah.
But shout out, that show is probably going to be great. But anyway.
Oh, it's not probably. It's going to be so good.
Yeah.
It'll air before, but we had a rehearsal last night, and there was a song that I have seen professionally done, and it's famous and amazing.
Phantom of the Opera. Is it really?
It's a Phantom of the Opera song.
That's hilarious.
That's the song.
Just being a dick.
But when you watch amateurs do that song, it is usually not good. The couple, shout out Alora and Joey, both did lots of theater stuff. They're doing it. The rehearsal, I should have come with a warning. It was so good. Afterwards, I was like, ooh, I need a cold shower after that. That's like the level of like amateur talent that's in this show. Like, nice. I have cried at rehearsal several times. I'm doing a rehearsal tonight with someone who does a lot of singing locally, and it's just so fun, and everyone is so good. Like, it's just great to be part of.
That's awesome.
So, change. Come to the theater. We can change. We didn't even talk about business. But I do think it all relates as we change. Business changes. We have to learn how to do new things. Everything about us is going to resist those things. So things like marketing. We talk about this all the time. People like don't want to do marketing, or they don't want to hire someone to do something. Like, you have to find ways to change your mindset, change your actions, change your attitude, perspective. Like, and it doesn't just magically happen. You have to put some intention towards it.
Yeah, I guess we didn't talk about business, but in conclusion, business, change, innovation, adaptability.
I think it is all, it's all business, right? And it's how you act as a business owner. And you have to grow and change. And what's common with that in businesses is, you know, to bookend this, most people will not choose to change anything. They'll just get the inevitable change that just happens because, and they resist it and they get stuck. Most people will also not choose to run a business. Most people will not choose to grow a business or grow in the business. So if you're one of the rare people who's actually chosen to get into business, like, it's almost like you're in for a lot more change than everyone. And just, I think, remembering that, like, oh, I'm doing things that most people would not do. It allows you to be easier on yourself. And when you do that, it's actually a lot easier to just keep making changes. And to finish off, the boys from Trooper, as they would say, great Canadian band, if you don't like what you got, why don't you change it? And that's our show. Matt, what do you want the people to know, and where can they find you?
I want them to go to mattygdigital.com and book a call.
Awesome. And I want them to go to profitcoach.ca and book a call with me. If you'd like to be on the podcast, please reach out to us and we can make that happen at setitup@kawarthasmallbusinesspodcast.ca.